Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome. Are you having a good time? It's good to see some familiar faces. It's good to see some less familiar faces. My name is Jonathan. It's my real honor to be the congregation leader here in Worthing. And we've been praying for you. Now, you may not realize what that means. Some of you may not be interested in what that means. Some of you may realize what that means, but we've been praying that this year is the best year you've ever lived. Now, if you're hearing me right now, you are alive. Can we just... Sorry? Somebody just grab her. If you're breathing in and out, then there is potential for life. And I believe this year, God wants to bring His life potential into our life potential, so that we find certain things are real and true. I don't know whether you know Jesus or not today. All I know is that Jesus knows all about you today. I don't know whether you've decided to give your life to Jesus or not already. All I know is that Jesus, a long time ago, decided to give His life to you. I don't know whether you're walking with God or not, or how well you think you are or not. All I know is that God wants to walk with you. That's all I know. I don't know kind of what your background or what your family situation is, but I know that it's time. Just say to me, it's time. It's time. This year, it's time. It's time to see God's reality in our world. It's time to know that the Bible is not just a storybook. It's full of truth about who God is and what God has done. All I know and all we know as a leadership in Kingdom Faith is it's time to see the immeasurable power of God at work in the weak and powerless vessels of you and my life. All we know is it's time to see our loved ones find freedom in Jesus. It's time to see our workplaces transformed by the power and the presence of God. Are you getting the gist of this right now? Just turn to the person next to them and say, I'm glad it's time. I'm so glad that it's time. For those of you that are here for the first time, you've come on a good day. This day will ruin you. It will ruin you for yesterday, and it will ruin you in readiness for tomorrow. We were kind of looking at, even on Christmas Day, that God says, make every day count. Don't count the days, but make the days count. It's good, isn't it? It's not a New Year's resolution. It actually comes from the Bible. And then last week, we were looking at, is time. Why is it time? Because God has set us up to experience Him in a brand new way. If this is not my timing, it's not your timing, it's not church timing, this is the timing of God. God works through times and seasons. The Bible speaks many times about it is time for this or it is time for that. Last week we just dipped in, there is time for everything under the sun and the God activity within it. And as we were praying for you this morning and those people that are sat next to your empty chairs, we were believing that it's time for you to see God in a new way. That's cool, isn't it? You weren't even here. Maybe you were waking off the sleepy dust. Maybe you were breaking the spirit of duvet that operates in the morning. I have no idea. There is a spirit of duvet in the world. It's very strong sometimes. Particularly when there's ice on the outside and on the inside of the windows. I know what that is like. The spirit of duvet is press, 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 stay, 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 slumber, slumber, slumber. But it's time to, for God is saying, awake. Awake and arise. And this is the time for God to be glorified in a new way. I'm just going to read out a few scriptures in a moment. But as a church leadership, there's several of us involved in that. If you come along to discover one at the end of service, particularly if you've not been to the church before, either to Worthing, Crawley or Horsham, if you've certainly not been here before, I encourage you to come to discover one, which starts at 12 today, where we can just share some thoughts, some details, some facts, some expectations about why we are doing what we're doing in Worthing for the glory of God. But this 2017, as we've been praying, God has just impressed a couple of things in my heart. I didn't really mention them last week, but I'm going to spend a little bit more time on them today. Is I looked at what 17 means. 17 is 10 plus 7. Can you agree with that, Colin? Is that all right? Okay. Colin is our physics person. He does quantum physics and fractal science and, you know, whatever. But 10 signifies complete defeat of the enemy. And seven defines or represents complete victory in Jesus. Well, that's fine, but when you put 10 and 7 together, what this year is about is complete defeat of every enemy that we've had. It means that this is a year of complete defeat of every enemy that's tried to steal from you, kill you, or rob you. But also, it means complete victory in Jesus. I don't know whether you know or not, but I can't defeat the enemy. But I can live in the one who has. I can't win a fight, but I can win in the winner, and it stops me whining. Did you see what I did then? This year, it's time for some of us maybe to stop whining and start winning. So 2017 is a year of victory. When we combine 10, this is the total defeat of the enemy, and 7, the complete victory of Jesus. What we're talking about is this year, Jesus wants you to have some complete victory in your life. He wants you to have victory over the way that you think, victory over the way that you believe, victory over the way that your body works, victory over the way your relationships work. He wants you and I to have victory over our going in and our coming out. He wants us to have victory when we meet during the week in small groups. They're going to be victorious small groups. When we meet on Sundays, it's going to be a victorious time. Because that's the kind of year that God wants you and I to have. Just look into the person next to you and say, it's going to be a year of victory for you. Don't you just love the Word of God? Don't you just love the Bible? I love it for loads and loads of reasons. One of them is because it never changes. It's time for victory. First scripture I'm just going to kind of look at, it's going to come up on the screen behind me. One translation called the Nearly Infallible Version, or the New International Version, if you're used to that. I'm actually going to read from the Message because I'm too young not to. Thank you for that. But this is Psalm 122, and I'm reading this because as church, we want to feed our potential for victory. And we've realized that there are two key ways in which we can feed this potential for victory. One is through what is God saying, the Bible. So right from the beginning of the year, from January the 1st, right through to the end of this year, we have a Bible reading program. If you want one to help you, to bless you, to encourage you, then please take one. You can get one of those from the Connect Team guys or the Info Point, because the Word of God builds faith. The Word of God is not about my view, it's about God's view revealed. The Word of God is not about what I feel, it's about what God feels in written language, so I can understand it. So I can't argue with it, I just need to align myself with it. And the Bible that we've been looking at this last couple of days is Matthew, but also some of the Psalms. And this particular Psalm, I think it was actually Colin or somebody, I can't remember it was, somebody mentioned this Psalm during the week, and it just caught my heart. It's Psalm 122, verse 1 to 9. I'm just going to read it from the Message, but it will come up behind me on the NIV. And it says this, when they said, let's go to the house of God, my heart leapt for joy. I don't know what your heart does when you think about Sundays. But maybe that's the issue. Because the house of God is not just Sundays. The house of God is who you're with as well as where you're with. I don't know about you, but every morning since the 1st of January, I've woken up and my heart has leapt for joy. Why? Because of God's possibilities for the day. It's interesting because can I just suggest that if we don't let that leap of expectation rise up in our heart, what happens is our expectations will squash it. Or our disappointments, or our fears, or our lacks. What the Bible says here is there's something in being with the house, being with other Christians that has joy around it. I'm so pleased that Teresa, one of the first things she said to me, bless her, she wasn't able to be here last week because she was with family, but I've been on a journey with her for 1 year, and she was telling me this has happened in a physical, in a relational, I don't want to embarrass her, but it's like all that in 1 year. It's not just that Teresa has found a family to be part of. And that was the very, very first thing that she said when she came in. A year ago, I remember it. Feels like being home. It's supposed to. It's supposed to. But in that place of home, in that place of belonging, in that place of just being together this year, there's going to be joy released. Hallelujah. It goes on and says, my heart leapt with joy. And now we're here, O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls. Jerusalem, a well-built city, built as a place for worship. What a great opportunity to serve God and serve others. I'm just so thankful for the last 4 or 5 days we've been having some early morning opportunities for an hour to pray, to meet with God, and to be praying for you, to be praying for your young children, your youth. We've been praying for your workplace if you're at work. We've been praying for the men in the room. You haven't even known that, but let me tell you, God knows, and God's going to let you know too. We've been praying for your unsaved family and friends. Well, let me tell you, we've given the first 36 days of this year. We want to give it to the Lord because there's joy in that. So if you want to be involved with that, it's tomorrow morning, Monday, we're going to be at 71 Georgia Fifth Avenue praying for businesses. If you have a heart, if you're in work, if you believe that there's God wants to do something this year in the business world, come and join us from 7 till 8. It's powerful. On Tuesday, we are at Larry and Judy's house. We had a great first meeting there last week, just praying for children and youth and schools and colleges and universities and our young people. Powerful time. On Wednesdays, we are praying for our unsaved family and friends. That 55 East Ham Road, is that right? I hope it is. Otherwise, everybody's going to turn up at your neighbours and they'll love you. But we were praying there for an hour and just a sense of God's involvement. And the expectation that God is time for God to do something. Then on Thursday, we were at Clint House in Storrington with Andrew and Sarah, and we were just praying there for the local community, and God just really spoke to us at that time about the church in Storrington and the surrounding area. Why not? It's time. But it's time for God to be real and seen in the community. And on Friday, again, another great time, with St. George Avenue again, we were just praying for the men. And half the people there were not men, they were women. Because it's not a gender-based thing. It's time for God to move amongst the men thing. And then yesterday, there was, I don't know how many, it was rammed. I don't know how many was there, hundreds. Hundreds of us at the open house yesterday. And there was 16. 1,600. There were 16 of us. And we were praying for today. Praying for you. Praying that you would understand in a fresh way that it's time for you and God. It's time for God and you. So over this week, next week, a few weeks coming, we're still meeting up in the mornings, as Andrew has already mentioned. Wednesday night, we're having counselor evening, which is powerful. But we believe that coming into the house, there's tremendous joy. It's a place of worship to serve. Goes on in this psalm, the city to which the tribes ascend. All God's tribes go up to worship. I believe that as we pray, as we meet with God, as we read the Bible, God's passion is to take us up. I believe God releases against the spirit of duvet a spirit of lift. I believe it's in God's nature to lift us up. As we were praying the other day, and again, I can't remember which morning it was one of them, we were just at one moment amazed that God created everything. It wasn't some scientist in a test tube. Where did he get the test tube from? We won't go there. It wasn't some person. God created everything. He's big. He's powerful. He knows everything. And yet at the same time, he's interested in you. But this God who is perfect, this God who is always right, this God who is totally powerful, this God who at a moment could just stop everything but doesn't, still thinks about what's happening with you. The Bible puts it this way. God, I'm so amazed that you're so big. What is man that you would be mindful of him? And it's time to realize in a fresh way that God has a plan for you and for me. This is what it means to be Israel, or the house of God. Thrones for the righteous are set there, famous David thrones, etc. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, prosperity for all you Jerusalem lovers, for any insiders, get along. Hostile outsiders, keep your distance. Interesting. I think as it tends to happen when we're praying, particularly for loved ones, you kind of get a little bit of expectation for them, but then they seem to go totally the opposite direction. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. Sometimes you're kind of praying for people, and it looks like they're going in totally the wrong direction. Anybody identify with that? You sure? How many of you are sure, but you're not brave enough to put your hand up? How many of you know that sometimes when you're praying for, you know, maybe a spouse or a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter, you know, you just know. God said, yeah, I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to do something. But then they go totally the opposite direction. Just put your hands up. Right. I want to encourage you because it's time for them to run into God. It's just not physically possible. It's physically impossible for God to be everywhere, and he is, and they don't run into him. It just can't happen. The Bible puts it this way. You can run as high as the heavens, or you can run as deep as the deepest well, and God's still there. So my conviction, and I just want to share this conviction with you, particularly if you're praying for family, people to get saved, people to get their miracle, is they can run, but they can't hide. It's time. God's going to find them. God's going to find them. Don't lose hope. Don't let yesterday's apparent failure feed today's potential for victory. It's time. It's time. Matthew 4, which is one of our readings from earlier in the week, Jesus puts it this way. He says this, Matthew 4:17 says, from this time, from this hour, from this season, Jesus began to speak. And he began to release words of life and hope and faith. We call it the gospel. We use the words preach. But what was he talking about? He was talking about there's a kingdom which is greater than the kingdom that you've experienced. It's the kingdom of God. There is a king in that kingdom who's greater than any other ruler that you've ever experienced, both now, yesterday, or in the future. And his name is Jesus. And it says that from that time, that we're a long way from that time. I believe we're still in that time. This is time to live a kingdom life. And this is why we're praying. This is why we're fasting. Fasting, I don't know what your kind of understanding or experience of fasting is. Maybe it's very basic. You just fast between meals. I don't know. And maybe you just try to do everything as fast as you can. Maybe you think fasting means that you stop doing something, which is half right. Fasting doesn't do anything, actually, other than tell God you mean business. It's what you do instead of fasting that makes the difference. Fasting doesn't do anything on its own. It can just be a religious act. It can just be a duty. It can just be self-fulfilling prophecy. But Jesus actually said, well, when you fast, pray. And it's that. It's that. And we're just going to have a little look at that in a moment. Part of what we've been setting aside for these first part of the year is that we want to live much more of a fasted lifestyle. I was chatting with somebody a bit earlier about one of the things I've just stopped doing now is I don't go on social media. I can live without it. But instead of spending, I don't know, the average is 3,000 visits if you're under 18 a day. Check that out. Yeah. I don't know how long they're on it, but they're either checking up, updating, Googling, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. It's about 3,000. And most of us who are on it don't realize how much of a waste of time it is until you stop doing it and do something else instead. So one of the things I'm doing is I'm just not going on there. Instead of that time, I'm going to just read the Bible a bit more. I'm going to pray a bit more. I'm going to spend a bit more time with people from here. So fasting on its own stops my flesh being fed with the wrong thing. But praying feeds it with the right thing. Because it's time, and in this 36 days, well, it's not that now, is it? It's more like 29 days. But in the remainder of this 36 days, God wants to reestablish some fasted lifestyles in our lives. Whatever it is that we feed grows. Whether it's TV, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pornography, whatever it is, what we feed grows. God is saying it's time to review our diet. And it's time, and I'm going to help you in this time, but it's time to stop doing what you know is not doing you any good ultimately, and instead do something which you know will be. So I want to say, in the mornings, we've been praying for an hour. Saturdays, we've been praying for an hour. This morning, we're praying for about 20, 30 minutes. But then in the evenings, the encounters, it's all about praying and fasting. But we're encouraging everybody to fast at least one meal a day. It's not hard to do that. All right? But instead, just spend a bit of time praying. 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Just get the Bible out. Because my conviction is, it's not about how much of the Bible I know. It's about how much the Bible knows me. I teach in our Bible school. I've been doing it 25 years this month. And I still don't know that much about the Bible. But I hope the Bible knows a bit more about me. I want to live it, breathe it, walk it, talk it, speak it, or not speak it. Matthew 4 will come up behind me. This is again, he's talking about Jesus. This is an interesting bit. This just encourages you and me to realize that Jesus did have an iPad. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read and scrolled down. There you go. I thank you. Jesus had an iPad. He was into it. These two guys are not from England. They're trying to work out the joke. Don't worry, it's not that funny. Just laugh, okay? Just laugh. Remember who's mentoring you. You just have, haven't you? It's me, it's fine. They scroll down to the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and rolling it, he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today," say today, "it's time. It's time." Jesus doesn't have to go to the synagogue and say it again, because he's come this morning to say it again. It's time. It's time. It's time to see the power of God at work. It's time to see the blind see. It's time to see the deaf hear. It's time to see the lame walk well. It's time to see those who are broken made whole. It's time to see those who are being crushed free from that. It's time. Now, I'm not just saying that, well, I am. I'm saying that in two ways. One, it's our time, but also it's your time. I don't know about you, but I live inside of time. I am not the Starship Enterprise. Beam me up, Scotty. And what God is saying is, today, say today, today, it's time. So it's important, as we're just spending some time praying, coming on Sundays, particularly the rest of this month, as we're encountering God, it's God wants to remind us of what he's done. Of what he's done. At the end of, when we're going to kind of bring this bit to the message, I'm going to get us to do something. We don't always do it here. And we haven't done it, especially because you're here for the first time, but maybe we have because you are here. We're not going to do what we normally do at the end, because it's the 8th of January. It just seems the right thing to do. But we're going to do something which we don't normally do. And I've not normally done it here either. How exciting is that? Andrea's looking at me thinking, what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you in a minute. just look at a couple of more scriptures. Is that all right? Because it's only 3 minutes past 11. We've got hours yet. Said a rave. Was that you, Sophie? Bless. Matthew 6, verse 5. The first three words that Jesus says is when you pray. Not if, should, would, or could. Let's say. Yes. Ben, mate, well done. And when you pray. There is an expectation that Jesus has put in place for you and me that he wants to give and give and give and give and give and give. That's why he says pray without ceasing. It's not because he's that interested in whether we're praying or not. He just wants to give us more. Pray without ceasing. In the same way, in the next, verse 16, it says, and when you fast, not if, or should, or could, but when. Well done, Ben. The implication being that Jesus is showing us it's time to see the power of God, to see people finding their freedom, to see people finding God. But how we live as a fasted person is it's time to pray and it's time to fast. Let's just put it this way. When we pray, I believe, we release the victory of Jesus as an attitude. Victory is an attitude. Somebody said, it's a beatitude. That was you, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It's a beatitude from Matthew 5 and 6. Victory is a attitude. Come on, we can do this in God. Come on, we can see a change by the grace of God. We can see a victory because of the power of God. We can see breakthrough. When we pray, it's a victory attitude. And when we fast, we release victory. Because let me tell you, everybody in this room, including me, there's a whole load of stuff that the world wants to use to keep us on the ground and under the duvet. But what we feed grows. It may be time to cut off a few things. Cut off that just staying up after night watching stupid stuff on the telly. Stupid is as stupid does. Forrest Gump. Maybe we just got to cut down some of the time we spend with some of the people we spend it with. Why do I say that? Because if you want to be an eagle, don't mess around with turkeys too long. Sorry, but I know you get it then, okay? If you want to fly like the eagle that God says you and I can be, let's not mess around with turkeys for too long. Let's spend some time with other eagles. Even if they're just training to fall out of the nest and fly on their own, which freaks you out, let's spend a bit of eagle time. So that's what they do. The eagle, which as far as I know, and somebody here will tell me, they, as far as I know, can reach the highest altitude without oxygen than any other creature. It's true, isn't it? Thank you. You should know because you come from there. But let me tell you, when they build their nest, which is right high up, when the little ones have got a few feathers, they just chuck them out. It's true. Hasta la vista. See you later. Don't laugh at me. I'm not an eagle. All I was saying is I think part of prayer and fasting helps us to fly like them. Sometimes it feels like we're being tipped out, but God will always carry us up. Sometimes it feels like, but God is faithful. We're going to do a couple of things in a moment. The first one is one of these things that we've never done before. And this will work. Because this is God's idea. But you'll have to get involved. Hooray. I can see by the thrilled look on your face that you are really excited about this. Or you're glad that it's almost time to go. I'm not sure. But before we... Which way around should we do this? Yeah, let's do it the way I've written it here. So let's all stand up, shall we? You can lose... Oh, you can keep that. That's it. Now, one of the... key kind of things that we're putting into the life of our church across all three of our settings for this year is what we call LIFE small groups. LIFE stands for Living in Freedom Every Day. And there's a few of us are going to be starting a small one of those at the end of this month. We're going to run that through And then we're going to have a whole weekend of really meeting with God and getting some freedom in a fresh way in the end of May. And then we're going to roll it out to the whole of the rest of the church from the autumn. It's very powerful. A few of us were in America a little while ago and saw 100 people probably who've been Christians for a bit, Christians for a long time, just finding total freedom in a new way from all kinds of stuff. Stuff which will make your hair curl. All right, sexual sin, immorality, drug addiction, witchcraft, occult, all kinds of stuff in all kinds of levels, which is like, whoa, really? But the Word of God sets people free, doesn't it? The presence of God sets people free. God is not bothered about how we started, it's how we finish. So we're going to be rolling that out. And this is one of the aspects of one of the weeks of one of these sessions. All right, so you can close your eyes because it's not going to come on the screen because I didn't get meant to write it up. But I'm going to make some declarations which I would love you to repeat after me. Now, you might think he's making me to do something. Yes, I am. I'm going to be honest about it. I want to make you declare some truth over your life. I'm not making up the truth. It all comes from the Bible. But in Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are thou." So we're going to start around this sense of, I'm blessed. Is that okay? So just repeat this. I am blessed with God's supernatural wisdom. And I have clear direction for my life. I am blessed with creativity. With courage and with ability. And with abundance. I am blessed with strong will, self-control, and self-discipline. I am blessed with a great family, good friends, good health, and with faith, favor, and fulfillment. I am blessed with success. Supernatural strength, promotion, and divine protection. I'm blessed with an obedient heart and with a positive outlook on life. I declare that any curse that has ever been spoken over me, any negative, evil word that has ever come against me is broken right now in the name of Jesus. I am blessed when I go in. I am blessed when I come out. Everything I put my hand to is going to prosper. And is going to succeed. I am blessed. Come on, let's give it an awesome praise, shall we? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, my God. Hallelujah. It's cool, isn't it? We've just been reading the Bible. That's what this year we believe as church is about, is victory. Thanks be to God who leads me in a triumphal procession, gives me victory. Just as we sit, just certain people around you and say, "Wow, that was great."
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.